consuming an inordinate amount of Vermont's great product, our the micro-brewed beer in which we lead the world in production.
Well, we'll do a web exclusive. You can check it out at democracynow.org about Radio Free Vermont, A Fable of Resistance. It's the first novel of our guest, the founder of 350.org, Bill McKibben, a proud Vermonter himself. And that does it for our broadcast. We have paid internships. You should check the applications at democracynow.org. Special thanks to Tarina Nadura, the Rafi Lerma interview.
Let the good times roll. Play the blues.
WHFR.FM 89.3, Henry Ford College Independent Non-Commercial Nonprofit Radio with the Detroit Blues Society present the Fall 2017 fundraiser, All-Star Blues Jam 3 at the New Place Lounge on Saturday, November 11th at 9 p.m. till midnight. Little Arthur Anderson on vocals and harp, Eric Goble on guitar, Sir Tim Duvalier on bass, and Papa Lee on drums. Our hosts for this celebrity jam to raise funds to benefit WHFR. $5 donation entry fee for adults 21 and over, with 100% of proceeds collected going to support WHFR radio and internet broadcast station operating costs. Please join this WHFR event for great music, good food, and fun, as cash bar and menu items will be available for purchase on November 11th at the New Place Lounge, 22723 Michigan Avenue, Dearborn, Michigan.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car. Which, if you're buzzed, could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
The following edition of the new WHFR Journal has been pre-recorded and edited for time and for content. Enjoy.
Thanks for being with us again. This is the new WHFR Journal, and this is our post-election analysis show. We want to start off by indicating to you that the information that we're going to share, much of it will be coming officially from the Dearborn Press and Guide, City of Dearborn website, and so on. So the election results are going to be completely accurate and consistent, but some of the opinions that are expressed during the course of this analysis, those are expressed completely for our own purposes and for your information. The views expressed do not represent this college, its board of trustees, its administration, staff, or students. Keep that in mind. I'm Susan McGraw, joined, as always, with Alan Mazurek. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Alan. Nice to see you again. Mm-hmm. Always a pleasure. And we have Ned Apigian joining us today. Ned is a former city council member for Dearborn Heights, as well as a guest on our journal talk show, has been many times, and also actually had a show representing Dearborn Heights for a period of time as well. So welcome, Ned. Glad to have you here today.
And thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Certainly. I think always when we talk about the way elections end up sort of playing out, the process of how many people cast their vote should be a very important issue, and I think certainly is, and in some elections makes a huge difference in the outcome. So why don't we start with that discussion. Alan, in terms of Dearborn support, Dearborn, we know that the primary. I couldn't remember that word. voter turnout was not so good, but it bumped up quite a bit, didn't it, for this election?
Just about, a little over 19,000 ballots cast in the mayoral election. 19,217 were cast, at least between the two candidates for mayor, John O'Reilly and Tom Tefelsky. So out of the voter registration in the city of Dearborn, assumably, obviously, it's never going to be as big a turnout as a presidential election year.
Sure.
or even a gubernatorial election year. Still some significant interest in the mayoral race after the primary carried over into the November election, for sure.
Yeah, certainly. So the estimate is about a 33% vote for that election, which is,
it could always be better.
It
could always be better. Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely, yes. Is right.
2/3 of the people didn't vote.
Correct. Yeah. That's another way. That's a glass half full, or 1/3 full, or glass 2/3 empty. There you go.
That's a major majority that didn't participate.
That didn't participate.
Yes.
And we sometimes think about why that's the case, and we'll sort of hold those thoughts once we get through some of the Dearborn Heights numbers. So, in Dearborn Heights, Ned, what was the turnout?
Turnout was 21.7, essentially 22%, which is a lot less than 33% for Dearborn. The total number of votes is really not that important. It's the percentage. There's 39,040 votes to be cast. That's how the percentage is determined.
I see.
The total in Dearborn voters should be about twice that amount. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, the total is over 60,000 in registered voters.
Okay, yeah, the city's about twice the size.
Mm-hmm,
so.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you in Garden City, where I live, where I reside, we had a 16% voter turnout, which was better than last time around, but still not so good. When we analyze that, so sort of why do these numbers matter and what do they mean, in Garden City, we didn't have anything earth-shattering. Our mayor was running unopposed. Most of our council was expected to be reelected. And so some people spun that in such a way, talk about glass half full. People like what's going on in the city, so they didn't bother to come out and vote because they don't feel there need to be any changes. Well, when we get into millages, that becomes a real issue, and we'll talk about those a little bit later because we had two.
And you guys have a police chief that has two jobs.
He's the mayor. He's city manager. And the police chief, yes.
I asked him if he got two paychecks. He said no.
That's correct. He does not. So So anyway, that's what happened in that community. So we try to stick with the Dearborn Heights area simply because they're closest to our proximity of license and physically as well. Alan, any ideas, any thoughts about why 33% in Dearborn? What do you think that means in the community?
Well, again, it's a year where we did not have a presidential election, a gubernatorial election, any senators running, for state Senate or for U.S. Senate, congressional elections. That all will come in the even-numbered years. So these odd numbers generally do have lower turnout just simply by default. I don't know if that's because people don't feel as invested in what's happening right in their own neighborhood as they do with some of the bigger picture issues that certainly get discussed quite frequently when it comes to the major national elections. But as you pointed out, it still becomes a problem when you have issues like millages and you have such a low turnout, which Dearborn didn't. But it actually had a pretty intriguing mayoral election where we had the former president of the city council taking his turn at trying to have the top job in Dearborn.
Well, I think one thing is interesting as it relates to all of that, sort of how it all shakes out. Sometimes people say it's the last 2 weeks of the race that wins the race. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but when we talk about, mailings, flyers, newspaper ads, and that kind of thing, it would seem that some of the people that actually got higher numbers wouldn't have because they didn't push as hard, where others that had lower numbers maybe pushed a little harder, but it wasn't represented in terms of, in terms of that.
In Dearborn, you're dealing with two very well-known people. It's not like one was a complete unknown.
True. And we had some
controversy. So it's not that nobody knew them.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I'm speaking more for the city council numbers themselves. But in terms of the election itself for mayor in the city of Dearborn, I think, it was a 57% of the votes went to O'Reilly. So 57%, some would argue, that's huge. That's a huge difference. But I it's not as big as I was actually honestly thinking. And I think some of that last minute controversy that came up in the local papers and so on, whether it was forced or, you know, this concept of fake news, you know, we won't get into that too much, but how that affected the votes in the, you know, ultimately, hard to say. What about in Dearborn Heights as it relates to the mayor, the mayoral race?
The mayoral race in Dearborn Heights was a lot closer than I thought, but I have to look at my sheet to see what the percentage was. I believe there was about 1,300 votes difference.
Mm. Yeah, I think I read like 56% went
and
to.
And I'm looking at it now. Challenger. I didn't highlight the mayor's race. It was 58-42 to 55. Mm. So roughly 14% difference. Is that what I guessed?
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Or was it? Yeah, that's yep. That was a lot close. I thought it would be not that close.
Yeah. But interestingly, both Dearborn and Dearborn Heights about a 14% difference.
Well, that's an
elections.
Interesting. Yeah, and Mayor Poletko's competition has only been on the council 5 or 6 years. Tefelsky's been around a lot longer than that, I believe.
Yeah, been around a long time. He, of course, gives up his seat on city council at this point because he chose to run for mayor and was at the end of his last four-year term as council member and, again, president pro tem this past time around. But
and Lisa Hicks's place in Dearborn Heights, she's mm-hmm. in the middle of a midterm, so she could run for mayor. And she's still on the council.
Interesting.
The interesting number to look at in the future is the differences between those that vote at the polls and the absentee voters. The absentee voters are usually older people, and they usually make a gigantic difference in the outcome of a race. Mm-hmm. Like when we were looking at votes the night of the election, I happened to stop at the Mayor Poletko's party. The absentee votes weren't there, and everybody was saying, well, all these doesn't mean much. Wait till all the absentee votes come in. So.
Yeah, interesting. The other thing about the absentee voting is that they come from all the precincts. Sometimes a particular precinct can be swung, particularly in Dearborn, with such a big community. But the absentee votes, they do tend to represent the older adults and those that don't have as much opportunity to get out. But, you know, the more we think about it, they're starting to represent more people that are just very busy or working longer hours or unable to feel like they're going to make it to the polls or working related to the polls.
Certainly the form allows you to do that.
Yeah, it sure does.
Those that aren't familiar with the form, it says if you're 60 or over, you can use the absentee option. And then if you're out of town or if you think you're going to be sick or hospitalized, and most of the people check 60 and over, I assume.
Mm-hmm. In Garden City, anyone can use an absentee ballot at this time. And that's what I think some people are arguing should be the case all over. Because why not? It's still a vote. It still counts. And as we know, it only takes one vote to win, and every vote makes a difference. But I think the general rule is when we analyze the absentee ballots, ultimately, once they come in, they are a pretty fair representation of what happens with the election in most cases. So if we treat them
sometimes you would think it's more than half. Mm. But I noticed this year I was looking at them and they weren't preponderance, mm-hmm. and that surprised me.
In Dearborn Heights, it looks like they were about a third. Is that correct?
Yeah.
However, some difference on, you know, the difference, although Mayor Poletko still carried both the Election Day tabulation and the absentee ballots, it was a little bit closer on Election Day results where there was a difference of a little less than 500 votes cast on Election Day between Lisa Hicks Clayton and Daniel Poletko. 2,563 cast for Lisa, and just over 3,000 for Mayor Poletko. But the margin for the absentee ballots, which were fewer ballots, put Poletko almost 700 votes, you know, about 675 votes ahead. So, you know, obviously, proportionately, he carried a greater percentage of those absentee ballots.
Right. Those are, that's what's going to happen because he's been a councilman for 29 years And he's been mayor for, I think, at least 10 or 12 now. I'm not sure. Three terms. So he has a broad base of especially old Polish voters, because Dan is a Polish himself. And those are the people that are voting. Yeah, one that they're, like they said, wait till the absentee vote comes in. I'm surprised at that, because there's obviously an effort to get that many votes. They're that close for the at the polls, shows you there's interest to try to unseat somebody when you get that close.
Yeah, is. Poletko the longest running? Does he have the record for the longest running seat on council?
You know, I would. I am not sure, because if you go into City Hall and you look at it, you see about eight mayors, each one of them for two or three years or four. I would say Mrs. Canfield was there for a while, but he's getting there.
Okay.
I'm going to have to study that next time I go into City Hall. See what that was.
Well, there you go. Well, we're talking about the local elections. We went through the process on the past several weeks, getting to know many of the candidates, having many of the council candidates that were running for the first time or running non-incumbent this time around here in Dearborn on our show. And we'll talk a little bit more about what happened with council. But that's just the basics as it goes for mayor. I think no real surprises, but when the races started to heat up, we sure got more attention in the press, I'll tell you that. So if that's good or bad, getting more people involved in the process, I suppose, can be a positive thing no matter how you look at it. So why don't we continue this discussion in just a moment. This is the new WHFR Journal, and the views expressed do not represent this college, its administration, its board of trustees, faculty, staff, or students. Stay with us. New WHFR Journal coming back.
Ambient. Experimental. Avant. Music concrete. And noise. Hi, I'm Scott Boatwright. Every Thursdays from 12 until 2 p.m., I bring you Sounds from the Corridor. From the quiet and relaxing to the loud and unsettling. I play sounds in the abstract on WHFR 89.3 FM, www.whfr.fm on the internet. That's Sounds from the Corridor, every Thursdays from noon until 2 p.m., only on the station making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
Hi, this is Peter Sagal, host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. What do you get when you take a bunch of public radio nerds and shut them in a room with computer geeks? Well, in addition to some bizarrely socially awkward offspring, you get the Public Radio Player. It's a new iPhone app that streams hundreds of public radio stations, including this one, straight to your iPhone and iPod Touch. You can get more information at publicradioplayer.org.
Thanks for staying with us. This is the new WHFR Journal here on WHFR Radio, 89.3 on your FM radio dial, or maybe you're listening on the web today, WHFR.fm. Do note that if you're enjoying what you're listening to, all of the talk shows on this radio station can be heard again and again as a podcast on our website at WHFR.fm. Don't hesitate to check that out. You want to continue getting more information that maybe you missed first time around, or you're catching our show midway, whatever the case. Susan McGraw here, along with Alan Mazurek, as well as Ned Apigian, joining in discussion on the election results for the city of Dearborn, Dearborn Heights, a little bit of Garden City, that's my town, and we're jumping into the council race and the city council concept. Understanding in the city of Dearborn, we don't have a council a chair or a mayor pro tem, we have a council president, and then we have a council president pro tem. In Garden City, we don't have council presidents, we just have the council and then a mayor pro tem, which is the highest vote getter. How about in Dearborn Heights? How does that work?
They call the chairman of the council. The council.
They call him council chair.
Yeah,
and that's
council
the person
chair
that gets the highest votes.
Not necessarily. Huh? They have a debate among themselves.
I see.
So there's a little bit of politicking among the people once they're elected, and who supports who, who's going to get. And the chairperson salary is about $1,100 more, too.
Interesting. Okay. Alan, some talk about when we were getting into discussion on the primary versus the actual election, when we talk about we talked about the mayoral race here
yes.
in Dearborn.
Yes.
Something you played with some numbers a little bit, and we have some interesting clarification.
I simply misspoke and completely misspoke when I had said that Mayor O'Reilly had not received more votes than Council who's also running in the primary, Tefelski, simply because of the fact that as I was doing the numbers really quickly, I wasn't really looking at the full picture of the other people that were in the race.
Sure.
However, there was still a bit of a difference there, and you must take into account that in addition to O'Reilly and Tefelski in the primary, there were three other candidates. However, the difference between those two in particular that went on to compete in the general election was only 5%. O'Reilly had 44% of the vote in the primary election. Tefelski had 39% of the vote in the primary election. However, the difference between the two candidates in the general election turned out to be 15%, 57% for O'Reilly and 42% for Tefelski. So just in the haste of speaking and trying to do math that at the same time, not chewing gum since we're on the radio, I suppose, managed to make a little slip there when we said that.
All right. So, no worries. But that's interesting context and clarification, particularly when it comes to factoring in those other three candidates. If you put all those other three candidates combined, it still wouldn't have necessarily affected in any way the two standout, people that moved forward into the general election.
Well, it also shows that, a significant amount of the people who in the primary voted for some form of change, voted
sure.
for another candidate,
mm-hmm.
ended up throwing their votes behind the incumbent mayor when we finally got to November.
Yeah, good point. What about council in the city of Dearborn Heights, Ned? What happened? What was going on? Tell us about who stayed, who's
yeah.
new.
The council in Dearborn Heights operates with a election every 2 years where virtually half change, not all seven. In Dearborn, all seven are changed in one election. This year, four council positions are up. 2 years ago, three were up. But this year, of the four that were up, three incumbents decided that they did not want to be elected, and only one incumbent, the chairman, Robert Constant, decided that he would stand for election, and he won. unfortunately, he was not exactly the top vote getter, so a newcomer got a few more votes than he did. The vote there was a little mixed up in that one of the incumbents who decided not to run, actually filed to run, that was Tom Berry, then decided that he would resign from the council and then changed his mind, but he couldn't be removed from the ballot, and then he decided not to resign from the council.
I see.
And he was concerned that he would be reelected, and that was a problem. So it created a little consternation. Actually, it affected the primary because there were 9 people or 10 people. 2 of the people on the primary did not change their mind and did not want to be elected, but there was no way to change that. And one of them didn't, and Tom made the primary. And I was on that primary, and I didn't make it because of this confusion.
It didn't help me.
Mm-hmm. But there are three new incumbents that we could talk about out of 4, which is completely different than Dearborn, where all 7 incumbents were reelected. Mm-hmm. So we can talk about. I gave that general picture.
Sure, sure.
Now, the interesting thing to me was that one of the newcomers got more votes than the incumbent. But it's not that much, but I'll give you the difference.
Yeah.
And her name is, this is another woman, Denise Malinowski Maxwell. Her total count was 4,163, and Bob Constant was 3873. It's a couple hundred votes difference, which to me was unusual because Bob's been around a long time. He's been a state representative for 6 years and been on the council for at least two terms. That's 8 years, and now will begin his fourth year term. So that to me was interesting. Mm-hmm. But and the other people that won were Bill Bazzi, a newcomer who has never run before, and then Denise Maxwell, who I told you we were just talking about, and Tom Wenzel. Tom Wenzel is someone who has never run before, but has been a very active person in the south end of Dearborn Heights. Whatever committee there is to clean up the streets or the parks or you name it, he's been a volunteer on it. So the people in the south end know him very well, and it's not really a surprise that he, with three incumbents not running, that he would do well.
Is that some in Dearborn Heights politics, sort of what the dynamic is with that north end, south end? Is that something that is, you know, notable to have somebody so closely identifiable with the south end of Dearborn Heights?
I particularly think so, because the people in the south end think they're deprived for some basic reason. I don't see why they think that. It's a poorer section. The homes are not the same qualities in the north end, but in his case, he was very well identified there. I don't remember seeing a sign or two of his in the north end, to tell you the truth, and I don't think he was counting on that. I think he spent his time in the south end thinking that's where he would get the best results, and it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise Maxwell, who's a complete new, if you look at her total, she got more votes than 2,400 at the polls, 2,200 for Bob Constant, 3,000 for Bazzi and Mo Baydoun, who lost. The difference between their votes is like about 50 votes.
Yeah.
And that's a result of the Arabic community working hard to get both of them elected. Just the votes are almost identical, except when you come to the absentee voters, there's a drop off in the difference.
Okay.
But so we have three new, which is really unusual, I would think.
And how many council members at Dearborn Heights?
Well, there's a total of seven, but only four were up.
That's
now.
Right. Okay.
2 years ago it was three, and 2 years from now it will be three. And who knows of those three, how many of them would choose to run again.
Right.
My guess is Lisa Hicks, who was running for mayor, will definitely run for council. And Ray Muscat, and then Dave Abdullah, the real estate person in our Dearborn Heights, was only elected first time last time, so I'm sure he'd be a candidate. So I don't see anybody not running of the three incumbents.
So when it comes to terms, then, do the higher vote-getters get four-year terms and then the lesser vote-getters get two-year terms?
No,
everybody gets a two-year term?
You get a four-year term.
Okay, okay.
That's why you're able to run for mayor in the middle
because it's staggered, I get it.
And it happened last time to the mayor. Janet Badalow, who was a councilwoman in the midterm, in her case, she wasn't running again, challenged the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
So It's a stagger. It's a good system. It makes sense to me. You might have a complete all new people, and you wouldn't have three people who were there before to know exactly. They all think they know what the rules are until they get on. They found out what they can't do.
Yeah. Well, if you think about it, if every 4 years in Dearborn we're electing potentially a mayor and council, there could be that crazy shakeup where you get a new mayor and you get an entirely new council, but that's a charter issue within the community. In Garden City we changed the charter actually last election to provide our mayor a 4-year term officially moving forward. So we had to actually change that from our local charter. It was a 2-year term, and it was ridiculous. I mean, frankly, it was you imagine your first year of a new term as mayor, you're just learning, and the second year you're starting to implement change and get the community behind you, and then you're maybe done. So we were pretty happy we overwhelmingly passed that change to the charter last time around. So our mayor Randy Walker, who was an incumbent running unopposed, is the first four-year mayor in Garden City
in this election.
Oh. Yeah. So there have been other mayors that have had multiple terms, certainly much longer than 4 years. But he's the first one in our community to get an official four-year term.
No, so four-year term makes sense.
It does to me too. Yeah.
It's too good.
When we talk about what was happening in Dearborn, Alan, with the different council incumbents and as mm-hmm. well as some of the shakeups, and some of them were, I think it might be appropriate for us to at least mention the WHFR bump, as we've called it. I think it was our own Jay Koronek who coined that phrase, and it worked again, didn't it?
It did. In fact, both of the newly elected members of the council, Aaron Burns and Leslie Herrick, were guests on the new WHFR Journal over the course of the campaign. We also heard from Ramez Haidar, Sean Green, mm-hmm. and Reagan Ford, who also stopped by to talk with us in the run-up to the election. But both of the candidates who ultimately were elected to the council, we were familiar with. We got to know them mm-hmm. When they stopped by our studios.
Yeah, yes. We'll take that. That sounds good. In terms of some of the consistency,
it's a shame we won't talk to them in 4 years, though.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Well, maybe we'll talk to them in the next few months. Actually, we'll get them on and now see what they're actually going to do. That they've talked about it, now they can do it. Sure. Susan DeBaja, I hate to say it, but I think it was kind of expected that she was going to be the highest vote getter. She's incredibly popular as council president, and just the sweetest, most intelligent woman, one of that I know in this entire community. So people really like her, and although 11% in terms of percentage of the vote doesn't sound like much, she won that highest vote by nearly 1,000 votes. So so that's substantial, certainly. And then from there it gets pretty darn tight. In fact, Reagan Ford, between Brian O'Donnell and Reagan Ford, Brian O'Donnell as an incumbent, and then Reagan as a newcomer, that's only what? That's like 100 and a few votes difference.
Less than 120.
Yeah. So when we talk about every vote counting, that's pivotal. That's pretty big.
I've seen it, Dearborn Heights, one vote.
Yeah.
One.
Incredible. And that's when they all want a recount, right?
And they get that, too. And the votes change around. They still ended up one.
Oh, my goodness.
Always find something.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What other thoughts, Alan, related to the city council election here in Garden City?
Well, obviously, as you mentioned, very strong support for Susan DeBaja, who returns as council president. Michael Cerini, not that far behind her, about 700 votes. Yeah, 700, 800 votes or so. Which is, the totals between the top vote getter and the third vote getter, just a little less than 2,000 or so. David Bazzi, third top vote getter. Robert Abraham with 8,931. Then the two newcomers, Aaron Burns and Leslie Herrick in that order, and Brian O'Donnell, as you mentioned, making the council with 7% of the vote, 8,146. He showed up on 8,146 of the votes cast.
He was an incumbent and he got seventh. So the two newcomers got ahead of him.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. When we look at the physical makeup of the council, we now have three females serving and four males. And I don't know if that's if we've ever had that type of a comparison in terms of male versus female, but I'd be curious to know that, actually.
Well, you had Mrs. Hubman.
For a very long time.
And then her daughter. Yeah. Were they on together?
I don't know that they were on together, though. That's a good.
I have to stop.
That's a good question. Yeah, but at least in recent memory, seeing that we have the two new candidates coming in as women, maybe if we looked at comparison of male voters versus female voters, I don't know if that would make a difference. But
three
I think
and
it's
four is a pretty even breakup. You can't get it any better than that.
Well, you can if you had four women and three men.
That would be
what I would vote for.
But that would be the same sort of thing.
I know. I'm teasing. But this is the new WHFR Journal, and we're talking about the elections. Why are they important? Because, frankly, these are the people that affect more of what you do on a daily basis than the President of the United States. You know, everybody comes out and gets crazy about that vote. That's where we have those higher numbers. But locally, who's going to support your trash, your local taxes, your police and fire and all that? These are the people that are making decisions related to that. So these are the ones that, my goodness, if you're going to get out there and vote, this is the one we need to really be a part of. And although the numbers didn't support that, in overwhelming percentages, at least we had what some would consider slightly healthier numbers than perhaps last time around. So,
well, in Dearborn Heights, we had two women, and we still have two women. There, Lisa Hicks was on the council before. She remains. And Mrs. Maxwell will take the place of Marge Horwath. So there's still it's two women and five men.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and how in Dearborn Heights, how do we go about picking who's going to be the head of the council, the council chair? Did we talk about that?
Yeah, well, like he was mentioning, I'd like to know more about that as well. Well, you said that they were called the chair of the council.
Which also in the bylaws, the charter. Gives him a little bit more. He's treated more like an advisory. He can attend certain of the mayor's meetings, whereas the regular council people might not be included in some of the administrative things. That's a political thing. Whoever
it's not the top vote getter, correct?
No, it's not the top vote getter. They're right now politicking among themselves to see who's going to vote. Would you vote support me for chair? That's what they'll be talking about between all seven of them.
Well, every community, as we know, has their own bylaws in the charter as to how these types of things are handled, calling them different names and so on, as it relates to who steps up once a mayor might be out of commission or unavailable for whatever reason to perform his or her duties. As we talk about the topic of endorsements, though, the Arab American News is often in Dearborn a huge sort of swayer as it relates to giving their support to candidates, and then those candidates doing very, very well. It's a very powerful entity in the city of Dearborn, and we can indicate that they supported Mayor O'Reilly, George Durrani, Susan DeBaja, and Mike Cerini, but not incumbents Abraham Bazzi or O'Donnell. Interestingly, in addition, they supported Aaron Burns and Leslie Herrick, which probably helped those two make it to council. They did also support Al Hanouti, Hyder, and Bazzi. But interestingly,
Bazzi with an I, not Bazzi with a Y.
You got it. Correct. Thank you for that too.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for that. So, does the Arab American News make or break an election for a candidate? That would be an interesting analysis, I think, moving forward. But certainly it's not going to hurt. And in this case, it certainly looked like it helped when it came to Burns and Herrick, as well as the incumbents that they supported, because those are the ones that seem to be pretty high in the vote-getting process.
Well, every time I ran, I looked for their endorsement. And more times than not, I always received it. And I can't say it helped me or hurt me. Mm-hmm. I have no, other than them putting your name or picture in the paper saying we're endorsing them, they don't do anything for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have advertised in it. But I don't know in this recent election in Dearborn Heights
who got that endorsement.
Who even asked for it. I'm not even sure.
Yeah. Well, one would imagine.
Because I don't read the Arab American News.
Well,
but I should have went. Curiosity should have made me go over there and look and see. I don't know if any of them asked.
One would expect that an entity like the Arab American News would do some research before they just jump on and support somebody that asks them.
My guess is in Dearborn Heights, they probably supported at least two of the three Arab Americans who were running. At least two. I don't know that they would do all. They'd pick somebody else. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned the name George Durrani. We didn't talk about Dearborn City Clerk. We had a feeling it was going to be a runaway. In fact, it was. And George Durrani, again, endorsed by the Arab American News, did win resoundingly in his vote, 70% to 29%.
I'll tell you what
Nofala
counts.
Hyder.
The UAW endorsement counts. I've never run a race without going to them looking for their endorsement.
Interesting.
It counts more than the Arab American newspaper's endorsement, I would say.
I think that every candidate is going to sort of try their own way to get to the voters. In this case, we didn't have as many voters, unfortunately, turn out, but we know that in terms of flyers and posters and, you know, I saw a ton of stuff. And again, not always, as I mentioned in the beginning of our discussion, not necessarily by people I was expecting to see materials from that were forwarded to me here in the city of Dearborn. But, well, we really do have another pretty solid election under wraps. And although we could sit and analyze it for hours, we only have a short amount of time in which to do so on this show. So we're very grateful, Ned, that you came in to give us that Dearborn Heights angle. And are you planning on throwing your hat in the ring maybe sometime down the road again?
Well, it would be 2 years from now, and God knows you could be what your situation is 2 years from now. You could be sick, you could be dead.
Well, hopefully neither of those things are going to be the case for you. But we should also mention, Alan, and I know you know this as being a radio guy, but when Ned or any of our volunteers is running for office, they're not allowed to do talk shows because that's considered an endorsement by the radio station.
There's a conflict of interest there, obviously.
Exactly, exactly. So we haven't heard that much from Ned because he has had time on council and as was going to potentially get on the primary, was on, you know, hoping to be on the primary ballot in Dearborn Heights this time around. But, well, I think interesting, spirited discussion, and thank you, Alan, for your contribution as well. As a former Dearbornite, I know that we all have lots of opinions on who our favorite mayor was and moving forward who we might like to see get out there and run, but any thoughts on the sort of the history politically in the city?
Well, I think if anything, and the thoughts right now are kind of, now that we're done with an election, we get down to governing. I think that talking to the five of the seven new candidates that wanted to be on the council, we heard a lot of, you know, common themes about what they felt the role of a member of council is, and kind of, you know, what their vision is for Dearborn. There seemed to be a lot of there seemed to be a lot of overlap in what many of them felt, and a certain amount of energy in driving the community forward. And hopefully the same holds true in Dearborn Heights as well. So I think that that's kind of the interesting part that we're looking at right now. So that's I guess where I've been focused as we as we finish up the election season.
Yeah, makes sense. And Leslie Herrick, we know, again, new now to council,
yes,
not
correct.
New to the community,
correct.
Very active in the city. And then Erin Burns, boy, a breath of fresh air, I'll tell you that. She came in and just loved hearing her discussion, and I think it's exciting to have sort of a younger attitude, a younger approach as well to bring in some new blood into this community.
A lot of activism and a lot of experience, working in community-based projects, which if that carries through with any politician, especially when they're new to a board, if they can sort of maintain that spirit and that energy, then, you know, maybe we can start to advance the cause and make politics something that's a positive force, in which in a lot of ways it should be. And maybe that is something that's reflected in that turnout, is that maybe just people aren't all that interested in politics right now, until, you know, the next time, 3 years from now or next year, when we have state or congressional elections as well. I think maybe people just sort of felt a need to take a pass and distance themselves, hopefully not permanently, but that's why it's encouraging to have some of this energy that's going to be coming on to council.
Yeah, great analysis.
In Dearborn Heights, all the candidates seem to be talking about the need for more transparency, seem to be like the new catchword, and as if something is being held from them, the people, they need to know. I thought it was a myth myself, this idea that they're going to bring more transparency to the process. And that's the new catchword. I don't want to take time to define it. There are certain things council members do that are not transparent. You're taken to special meetings when lawsuits are brought against the city, and those are not to be transparent. Most everything else you can hear at a council meeting, there isn't many secrets, because you can't have meetings because of the private meeting acts. As council members, we can't have a private meeting So pretty much everything you see, that's where you see it. And there's only 15 minutes to talk about it. It's not a lot of time. There's no grand conspiracy to hold information from you. Most of the information that they're looking for, the council members aren't told by the mayor. So it's a big myth, transparency.
Interesting perspective, Ned. We're gonna leave you with the last word. I think in summarizing Alan's great analysis there, it's about activism. It's about if you want to know the information, for the most part, it's out there. We have to do a little research on our own, and ultimately the goal is to make this community and all of our communities stronger and better. And if you love who won in these elections and you voted, good for you. If you don't and you didn't vote, well, hush it until the next time around. That's the way I put that. But that'll wrap up this segment.
Indeed. And I'll be back in just a couple of moments. Josh Hebert and I will talk some sports here on the new WHFR Journal when we return in just a moment.
Do we have an obligation to be moral? How do we even know what is right or wrong?
Do we really have free will? Or are the choices we make the result of causes and effects beyond our control?
Is my mind or soul a separate thing from my body, or just a function or product of my brain?
Are these the type of questions that interest you? Do you want to develop your skills in reasoning? Then you should check out the courses in philosophy that are offered at Henry Ford College. Philosophy deals with big perennial questions, questions that keep cropping up each generation because they are too big for one person or generation to answer completely. It is a quest to find the fundamental truths about our lives and our world through critical thinking. Henry Ford College regularly offers the following courses:
Introduction to Philosophy,
Introduction to Logic,
History of Philosophy,
Ethics, and Eastern Philosophy.
These courses will help you earn your degree and will help shape your thought for the rest of your life. For more information about the philosophy courses at Henry Ford College, look online at hfcc.edu or contact Professor Ryan Scholler at rshowler@hfcc.edu.
Hello, my name is Jonathan. Every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m., I am inviting you to join me for a songwriter symposium right here on WHFR. Each week, I play music from talented artists that write and perform their own music. Modern singer-songwriters, some who are established, as well as those who are just getting started. I will feature music from local musicians, as well as those from around the country, Canada, and beyond. If you like Americana, country, modern folk, and indie music from artists who try to evoke emotions and tell a story with their lyrics, then you will like Songwriter Symposium, every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m., right here on the station making waves, WHFR Dearborn.
This is the new WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw, on this chilly Friday afternoon for our weekly sports talk with Josh Hebert. And speaking of which, I know that there's going to be, well, we're sort of at that transition point where we're going from outdoor sports to indoor sports, thankfully, at least on a day like today. But there are still some outdoor games that are going to be taking place, right, Josh?
Yes, there are. But sadly, Fortson is not going to be one of those, as they lost to Cass Tech 27-22 last weekend. And Wyandotte is also done, as they fell 21-19 to Yipsey Lincoln.
They scored with like a minute left and missed the two-point conversion, from what I understand.
Yeah, it was a tough game for them. However, we do still have a little bit of Divine Child Falcon football to go on, as they beat Thurston last week, as you should know, Alan, 42-6.
It was certainly one of those games where everything really seemed to be clicking for the Falcons. And again, full disclosure, as I've alluded to in the past, my children, my son and my daughter, both go to Divine Child, and my son happens to play on the football team. He's the place kicker and part-time punter for the DC football team. So, yes. Yeah.
And they will now host Riverview later tonight, as Riverview beat Carlson last week 38-14.
And this is what we call the regional finals, which is basically the state quarterfinals. After this, you'll have four regional champions in each division, and then they'll play in the state semifinals and on Ford Field day after Thanksgiving is when the state finals take place.
Always a good time down at Ford Field for those games if you've never been down there.
I haven't been for the state finals. I was there earlier this season for the Prep Bowl, which Divine Child also played in as well. So
And then we also now do have Henry Ford Sports, as the winter season is now in full swing, we have the Roller Hockey Club, which, as some of the people who are listening and you, Alan, may remember, Miss Taylor was talking about a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They are 8-3 now.
Wow.
In their first season, and are beating teams by an average of 5-3 in their games.
Oh, that's great. And they play their games, you said, I think, was it at Canfield Arena there?
Yes, it is.
Which is right by Ford Road and Beach Daily in the corner of Dearborn Heights there, correct? Yeah.
And then we also now have wrestling, who is hosting their only meet of the season this coming weekend on Sunday at 9:30 a.m. So bright and early here on the campus of Henry Ford at the Athletic Memorial Building, or Building H.
Building H. So this is you know, I mean, rare that they only have one meet that they host, or is this how it works in wrestling that we know of?
This is, since this is the first season for wrestling here, it is going to be a little bit of this might be how it is,
mm-hmm.
but we are going to have to wait and see going into a little bit later on into future seasons if it's only one or if they get multiple to host.
And when they do these, is this, you know, like one college against another, or are you hosting that's more of a tournament format?
There's going to be multiple teams here, multiple colleges going on and competing. And then we also now have men's basketball just started this past Saturday as they beat St. Clair down in Ohio 91-71.
Oh, wow.
And they will play at Lansing CC tomorrow and will have their first home game a week from Wednesday versus Kellogg Community College.
And that's the men's side of things, but when we talked with Ms. Taylor a few weeks ago, we're looking forward to the return of women's basketball at some point, but not quite yet,
yeah,
right?
Not this season. Next season, the women's team will be back in action here with a new head coach and new staff.
Well, lots of opportunities to support your Henry Ford Hawks. Any other ones? We've got roller hockey. We've got
roller
basketball.
Roller hockey, wrestling, basketball. Those are the three main ones going on right now here at Henry Ford.
And, of course, anytime you get a chance to see them here on campus, obviously it means a lot to the student-athletes, you know, just like all of the other activities that we
Correct.
Have here on campus, the student actors and student theater technicians who put on the plays and musicals that we see, or the dance troupes or the bands.
It
means a lot, certainly, to the student-athletes to be able to get some support and be recognized here on their own campus, and know that they've got, you know, the support of the student body and everybody else.
And the community. It's big. I know I hear it from a lot of the players I talk to and a lot of the former players that I talk to. They really enjoy seeing the people come out and enjoy and support the teams here.
Excellent. Thanks, Josh. Great talking with you, and we'll find out later this evening as to whether there's still going to be another week, at least, of high school football here in the city of Dearborn.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be there, certainly, to root on the Falcons against Riverview. It's going to be a chilly one.
Bundle up there, Alan.
It's going to be really cold tonight, so we'll see. First time ever that the school's had a chance to host, you know, on their own property, on their campus, a game of this size and magnitude, even though the school's had, you know, tremendous historic success. This is certainly going to be a big deal for them.
It is.
And again, speaking from personal preference, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Thanks, Josh. Nice to talk to you. The new WHFR Journal, I'm sorry, continues in just a moment here on WHFR.
Henry Ford College provides a strong foundation for students pursuing a career in education, offering a two-year associate's degree in pre-education as well as pre-secondary and special education. For more information about HFC's pre-education degrees, please call 313-845-6430 or check out the pre-education program guide at hfcc.edu/programs.
Learn about the Detroit Red Wings when Ken Daniels, TV announcer for the Wings, presents a talk about his new book, If These Walls Could Talk. That's Tuesday, November 14th at 6:30 p.m. in the Henry Ford Centennial Library Auditorium. The presentation is free, but reservations are requested. Call 313-943-2330 or go to the website dearbornlibrary.org. Copies of the book are available for purchase on a cash-only basis. That's Ken Daniels, Tuesday, November 14th at 6:30 p.m. in the Henry Ford Centennial Library Auditorium.
I'm Alan Mazurek, wrapping up this edition of the new WHFR Journal, along with Josh Hebert and Susan McGraw. Thanks, Josh, for joining us for the sports segment. It's going to be a cold one this evening over at the Divine Child Alumni Athletic Complex, so I'll be bundled up and looking forward to tonight's regional final. Wrapping up the program, Susan, a great conversation about the elections that we just had. With some of the new voices, maybe some hope for the future that things will continue to progress and we'll have a good, successful council here for the next 4 years. Not to say that it's been, you know, something horrible the last 4 years either.
Sure. As we say, that lower voter turnout sometimes means, well, we're okay with the way things are going. So why rock the boat too much? But our goal, of course, will be when things are going on in the community or when we're hearing about different potential unrest or activities that might be of interest, we'll try to get some of those council members in and get them to talk. And we always love having the mayor in on occasion to the station, so we'll probably work on that for one of our upcoming interviews.
I look forward to it. That'll be my first one with the
wonderful
mayor. That would be great.
Very good.
You know, while we're still speaking of election, and we had the League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights chapter on recently on the program. Just because the election is over does not mean that their work is done. They've got a lot going on in the other, you know, whatever, 10 and a half months of the year when we're not thinking about those elections. An event that they have coming up that we want to tell you about, the League of Women Voters, the Dearborn Heights chapter, is hosting an event next Thursday, this coming Thursday, November 16th, called Creating a Safe Community, Drug Abuse and the Role You Play. And I believe we touched on this briefly when we talked about the mission of the League of Women Voters a few weeks back. Mm-hmm. It's going to take place, again, Thursday at 7 o'clock at Christ Episcopal Church, which is located at 120 North Military in Dearborn. And the speaker for the evening is going to be Hassan F. Abdullah, who's executive director of the Safe Substance Abuse Coalition. It's a community-based organization aimed at tackling the obstacles and stigmas relative to addiction and mental health, especially a big part of that as well, through public education, sharing stories, and partnering with elected officials to advocate for policy change to curb the substance abuse epidemic. Now, again, this is also all part of the nonpartisan mission of the League of Women Voters nationally and here locally in the Dearborn Heights chapter. It's open to the public. Admission is free. There is parking right next to the church, and it is handicapped accessible. For more information about the local chapter of the League of Women Voters, you can visit LWVDDH, so obviously League of Women Voters, Dearborn Heights, .org. So LWVDDH.org. They'll have, I assume, information about the event right there on the website. Or you can call them at 313-278-6476.
Easy enough, and we certainly encourage participation in any of the events that we're talking about. They are community-based activities and events, and when you can get free information about something as important as this, you never know how you're going to be able to utilize that to forward the cause, help others, and maybe even help yourself. So we appreciate them being here, and we're glad you mentioned it, Alan. Sure appreciate that.
That should just about wrap up this edition of the new WHFR Journal here on 89.3 WHFR. Thanks for being with us. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Friday afternoon. We've got a couple of very exciting things we're going to talk about next week, I believe.
We do. We're going to talk about the Hammond Planetarium, which is our own Henry Ford College's planetarium, and then we're going to talk a little bit to some of the exciting things that are going on with the president of the
American Association of University Women.
Yes. I was going to say the AAUW, but people don't know what that means. So, yeah. Absolutely. It should be good show, so we'll look forward to it.
Sounds good. We'll be back here next Friday afternoon at 1. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. We've got music coming up next here on WHFR.
The performing arts are an important facet of life. There's no substitute for the relationship between audience and performer. The Henry Ford College Theater Arts Associates degree program offers a wide variety of classes for the beginner with no experience, as well as seasoned professionals who wish to improve their skills. Theater classes can be found on the HFC website under THEA at the hfcc.edu web advisor. Sign up today to begin or expand your future in the performing arts. Call 313-845-6478 or go to theater.hfcc.edu online for more information now. That's 313-845-6478 or go to theater.hfcc.edu.
Hey guys, Bill Wright talking to you. College radio means to me an expression of my feelings in music, a chance to do things that I thought I would never be able to do through the world of radio, and makes me feel more important in adding to the community and to the radio station itself.
WHFR, Dearborn.
Kitty Love, DJ Kitty Love. I'll be here with you for the next 2 hours, bringing you the best of the new blues releases and Detroit blues, and information about the blues artists playing in town, and about the fabulous fundraiser for WHFR coming up tomorrow. Yes, mark your calendars, tomorrow in West Dearborn at the New Place Lounge. That's 22723 Michigan Avenue. WHFR staff is coming on down there to put on a fundraiser, and we need your help. Come on down, and we have an open, an all-star jam, all-star blues jam happening for you, all-star blues jam 3 at the New Place Lounge. That's tomorrow night, 9 p.m., all the fun starts in West Dearborn. If you are an experienced jammer and you know who you are out there, and